one God revealed in three persons, the triune God, the Trinity, is not something that I am even going to attempt to try and make simple for you this morning, even with pictures of bicycles and so on. That's a help, but it doesn't come close. It's just not simple. It really defies being made simple. Yet I have to say for myself, I read a lot. I'm sure you puzzle about some of these things too. You know, we want to have, as it were, sort of stock or simple or easy answers to what God is like to really understand. And I get caught at numbers of times there because here I have this seeming need to have simple answers about God, but I know that in my own life, it's not always that very simple, is it? I mean, even said in the prayer time, life gets complicated. I mean, you show me, tell me about a family whose life, whose family history isn't complex and complicated. There's just stuff. And even at an individual level, you have to understand this, that you are not as simple as some of your friends may be trying to tell you that you are. I mean, think of this. You have 1 trillion cells in your body. And every one of those cells is a complex organism. Okay, do the math with me. 1 complex organism, 1 cell times 1 trillion, you get it. You're a very complicated person. And yet we seem to want this about God. You know, we want it made simple. You know that I have a son. His name is Keith. He lives and works over in Glasgow, Scotland. He's an electrical engineer. And that's basically just about all that I can tell you about what he does, because everything else is above my technological pay grade. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And yet I still get hung up on this. I mean, I want something simple, something easy to put together about the Trinity. I think maybe the best answer might sometimes be to just stop trying to figure the Trinity out. And yet I know that that's not a bad thing. That actually is a good thing. It's a good thing as long as it doesn't come at the expense. I mean, deep thinking into what and who the Trinity is and what it's like is really profitable. As long as it doesn't come at the expense of experiencing what it is that the Trinity has to offer us, what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, wants to give us. And the gift of the Trinity to me, to you, to us as a church is, going to sound rather simple, the Trinity. The gift of the Trinity is the Trinity, because the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is love. And our first need is not to process just information, you know, have more intelligence, as it were, about the Trinity. Our first need is to experience the love of the Trinity. There's not a case to be made for understanding, but the first thing has to be experiencing the gift of the Trinity, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who desires, who yearns to be in relationship with us. And I want to talk about that this morning, but before I get there, I do just want to lay some basic foundational stuff about the Trinity as it's revealed in the Bible. Now, having said that, you need to know the Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible. Okay, you never see that word Trinity in the Bible. And yet the whole of the Scripture from Genesis, from the very opening of Genesis to the end of Revelation, you get these splashes of glory about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the New Testament alone, there's over 70, I think maybe 75, kind of implied references to the action, to the work, to the ministry of the Trinity. What does it all reveal to us? Well, the first thing is that God is one. The Bible doesn't reveal to us that there's two gods. There are not three gods. There's one God. And secondly, the Bible reveals to us that this one God is three persons. The Bible shows us that this one God lives in this incredible relationship, community of love, if we could call it that, of three persons. Third thing, God is diversity. The three persons who are one God, they are three different persons. We have different names for them. We know them as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each of those names describes a relationship that's within that community of the Trinity. And the fourth thing is that this one God revealed in three persons who lives in diversity is unity. Whenever you meet the Father, whenever you meet Abba, you're meeting Jesus. And whenever you meet Jesus, you're meeting the Holy Spirit. The three persons are so intimately related to each other that they come to us ever and always as one God. You name anything that's in the Bible, really the important places in God's timeline, and you see the Trinity at creation. Father, Son, and Spirit are involved there. In the healing, the reconciliation of the cross, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved there. You look at the restoration of all things, the gift of God's new heaven and new earth. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved there. This morning at 11 o'clock, and it's great to see Doug here for our 9 o'clock service, but at the 11 o'clock, Doug is going to profess his faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. And we're going to see the Holy Trinity at work right there. We're going to see the work of Abba, Father, the God who embraces us, who welcomes us home. We're going to see the Son, Jesus Christ, who with great love offered up his life for us on the cross, taking our place. We're going to see the Holy Spirit, really our new best friend, the Spirit of God, who's the one who grows us, who increases in us faith and knowledge and understanding, who brings us to maturity in our faith in God. All right, all of that you've got, I hope. I don't know that I've got it all myself, but let me now tell you some of the concrete difference that can make. Knowing this gift of the Trinity, this one God revealed in three persons, what it can mean, how all of this, if all of that is splashed over the pages of Scripture, how does it pour into our lives? What kind of difference, concretely, does the doctrine or the belief in God as Trinity make for us? The first thing is that the Trinity can renew and release into your life a new way of getting God. I was thinking about this just even this morning, and I had the memory brought back to me right all the way back to 1979 when I started out as a pastor at Glenbrook Church in Mississauga, and there was this 12-year-old that said this to me after one of the morning services of worship. I've probably told you this before, but Joanne said to me, "What's heaven like, Pastor George?" And I tried to explain. She says, "You know, I really think it's boring. Sort of like an eternal church service." That's exactly what she said to me. And I thought, whoa, am I getting a quick introduction to pastoral ministry, right? But, you know, here's the thing. God is not boring. And God's not bored. I've missed getting one God in three persons if we actually think that God is boring and bored. Because God, as we begin to grow in our understanding and experience of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Trinity, we find is quite exciting. And this God is quite excited about us and about what's happening, what's going on as he works step by step towards the reclaiming and the restoration of his creation. There's this incredible, when you think of the Trinity, this incredible between these three persons, this community, party of love is what I call it, how they function and relate to each other, this incredible back and forth, this arm in arm, this affection and this kind of warmth, this unwavering commitment that the three persons, one God, share to seeing God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. There's this relishing of each other and this relating back and forth that then releases itself into activity in this world and into our lives. There's openness. We know, we get to know this God. There's also a lot of mystery too. There's stuff that we'll never get this side of the new heaven and the new earth. And I could go on, but you know, there's an incredible amount for us to discover, to grow into, to understand, to get about this great God, Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second thing is this, that the Trinity can renew and release into your life, into my life, our lives together, fresh and larger desires, like eager, excited desires to worship. sometimes we can put, I can put, and I think you can put, great pressure on ourselves when it comes to worship. What do I mean? Well, you know, Sunday's over, and I say, okay, it's time to work for next Sunday. And I want to have an exciting and a stimulating and a profound message. That's pressure. That's a lot of pressure, right? Maybe you have pressure, too, when you come to church because you have some expectations about what you're going to experience here. You want to sing the right kind of songs. You want things to be done, perhaps, in the right kind of order. And if you're going to feel good after this 1 hour that you give to Sunday morning, you want to experience it just in the proper way that you think and imagine that the worship of God is meant to be, needs to be. That's a lot of pressure and expectation that can be laid on yourself and even laid on others. And in all of that, I think I miss and you miss, we all miss something. Here's what I want to suggest to you that we're missing. Before any one of us showed up here this morning, and some were here prior to 8 o'clock, I got here a little bit after that, but before you got here, whether that was 5 to 9 or 5 after 9, before anybody got here at Knox this morning, there was already worship going on. Worship didn't start when we walked in the building and, you know, 9 o'clock or 5 to 9 or whenever. It was already going on because God is a party of praise and love and worship. It's the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, giving glory to one another. Just read John chapter 17. You'll go through that and you'll see it alive and in action there. Worship is happening right now. Get this, picture this. Right now, worship is going on within the Trinity. So when we get here on Sunday mornings, here's what our aim is. Our aim is not to try and stoke something up. Our aim is to connect ourselves. Get this now. I want to get this because this is exciting. Our aim when we gather together on Sunday mornings is to connect ourselves to the worship service in heaven. Literally, yeah. And what goes on, what happens here, we want it to connect itself to the worship that's already happening in the Trinity. You see, what goes on here and what happens here, it's never about us. It's surely to goodness not about me, okay? It's not about the praise team. It's not about the choir at 11 o'clock. It's not about Hillary. It's not about Paul. It's not about whether we sing new songs or hymns or whatever. It's not about organs and drums and guitars and pianos and all the rest of that. What it's all about, it's about coming together in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and joining in that party of love. Some picture it, this community of love, as the dance of love. Joining in the holy heavenly dance, the heavenly service of praise and worship. The third thing, last thing, and there's many more I would think, but that I have for you at least this morning, is not only does the Trinity renew and release us into a new way of understanding and getting God and also into deeper, larger desires to connect ourselves to what's going on in worship in the Trinity and in heaven. The Trinity can renew and release us into a new kind of life that has a power in prayer, great power in prayer. Because if God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is worshiping before we worship, then it can also be said that the Trinity is praying before I pray and before you pray. You know, I think, again, this whole matter of prayer can be a thing of undue pressure and expectation. Because when it comes to praying, sometimes we get hung up on, well, I can't pray. I don't have the right words. And please, God, don't ever ask me to pray out loud, and I'm never, ever going to pray in a group, you know. And the pressure list just goes on and up and up. What we need to understand, I need to understand, is that Jesus is already praying for me, for you, for us. The Holy Spirit is already praying for you. And even when you may think that you don't have any words at all to pray, there are words being offered for you in heaven. You are being prayed for. Right now, as it were, you're being prayed for. And to let the reality of that go down deep into my spirit, that I don't know for you, but that starts to help me think that there's freedom there. That I can really be set free to pray as I've never really prayed before. Because I'm not the first in praying. I'm joining to the prayer. Jesus is praying. The Spirit is praying. Let me bring this home, I hope. When you have situations in your life that, even like I was, you know, before I prayed this morning, where you really have more questions than answers, when you find yourself living in a desperately hard time, when the challenges of life are just really bearing down on you, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to turn, when you're unsure that you're really even going to make it and get through whatever it is you're experiencing, it's right at that moment to get it that the Trinity is praying for you. And the very best thing that you can do, I believe, is to bind yourself to the prayers being offered for you by the Holy Trinity, by Son and Spirit, to Abba Father. How many are familiar with the prayer of St. Patrick, the breastplate prayer? Do you know that prayer? Yeah? Oh, I knew you would, Maureen, because Alistair, he made these bookmarks with that prayer. I still have some of those. You could look it up. It'll be in different versions, I suppose, but you can look it up on the internet. Google it, St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. But I want to offer you a prayer now. And it just really, it comes out of that prayer of St. Patrick. Because my life right now, you know, it's complicated. And I have to believe that your life is complicated. And so I've just started, and I've encouraged the members of my family as well to start praying this. I wish I had to put it up on the screen. Maybe I'll send it out by email to you. But I invoke the name of the Trinity over my life. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let your presence fill my life, fill my marriage, fill my family, fill my church family, fill my workplace, fill my school, fill my neighborhood, fill my community. Holy Trinity, renew me and renew the world. Now, you don't have to get the words exact. It's not a magic prayer, okay? It's not a bullet, okay? But the essence of that is simply this. It's invoking the name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, over our lives and over the lives of our family and our friends and over our church and our community. And when we start to do that, I believe we'll see at least, we'll likely see more, but we'll see at least two things. That this heavenly dance of love, this great party of love that the Bible reveals to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, becomes to us strength, like the scripture talks about a three-stranded cord that can't be broken. And it becomes great strength to us, a cord that cannot be broken and severed. And we also, alongside of that, begin to see that the Trinity is really the picture for us of the kind of life in community that we're meant to delight and experience. And we begin to see that this word Trinity yes, it's a doctrine, and yes, it's important to enter into it and dig into it and try and understand it, but this word Trinity, it describes the one God, three persons, who says to us, says to me, and says to us in Knox, come to my party. Here's the invitation. Come to my party. Step into the party of love that we have as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, next week, I want to look at this one more time. Maybe I should really have three messages, but I just have two. It's not a tri-message series. It's just two messages, but next Sunday, I just want to look at that under the understanding of how God invites us into the party. I'm going to pray, and I want to invite the praise team to come up to the front. Gracious and good God, we barely can scratch the surface on this. It's almost like we don't even get the very tip of the iceberg, as it were. There's something large, there's something great, something so immense about who you are. Thank you, though, that in Jesus and by the Spirit, great God, you've shown us a little bit about what you're like, about your heart, your goal, your plan, not only for our lives, but for the whole of creation. And thank you that at the heart of it is not a wagging finger, not a judgmental, condemning God, but the God of love, deep love, lasting and eternal love, the God whose arms are open, invitationally open for us to come home and to come to the party. Thank you. Help us this week, Lord God, to join in the celebration. Not imagining that we'll have all the answers, but we'll have enough because we have you and we know that you have us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.